All right, guys, welcome to Game Changer Podcast. I'm David Villa. I'm here with Diana, and we're going to talk about today an anointing to match your assignment. That's a word you hear in church. So buckle up. We're going to jump into this word, and we're going to break it down for you. And we're going to tell you and show you why that you need an anointing to match your assignment. So when you hear about the word anointing, right, if you've been in church for a minute, especially if you've been in church for a while, you may go to, you know, let's go to King David, right? He was anointed. That's a heavy word, right? By Samuel to be the king of Israel, right? Samuel traveled all the way to Jesse's house and he anointed him. He poured oil on his head. Or you may think of like going up for prayer and, you know, the pastor putting oil on your head and praying with you. Or you may think of maybe your favorite preacher and you say things like, that preacher, this sermon was anointed, right? He was anointed this Sunday. But, you know, being a good communicator does not necessarily mean you're anointed. And being anointed doesn't always mean your job requires a microphone, right? So in other words, an anointing, and we're going to talk about today, isn't something that's reserved for preachers. Matter of fact, to the contrary, right? It's not a pastor thing. It's not an Old Testament king thing. I'm going to say this, and this is why you needed to tune in today, and this is why this is going to be a blessing. We all need an anointing to match our assignment. And let me just start out by saying this. If you listen to our podcast for any period of time, you know that God's called you and anointed you. You're going to know that today. But he's called you and he's destined you for a purpose. So we need an anointing to match our assignment. We need an anointing to match the purpose that God's placed over and on our life, whether it's leading an organization, the next generation, whether it's to be a parent, you need an anointing to be a husband, you need an anointing to be a wife, you need anointing to match the assignment that's placed on your life. And so in Psalms 23, David paints a picture of the Lord as our shepherd, right? He explains how God leads us and he guides us. And just the shepherd leads his sheep. And then he says, you anoint my head with oil. And as a former shepherd himself, David knew all about, you know, caring for sheep. And so these words carried a different weight for him than they carry for us today. So what did he mean by that phrase? You anoint my head with oil. So, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago in the podcast, but we mentioned that sheeps are, you know, often antagonized by insects, right? This, if you're a shepherd, and I've never shepherded sheep, right? I don't think I've even touched a sheep, but you know, you look at sheep and they even though we, you know, we view them as like soft and cuddly, you know, the little, you know, stuffed animals, and you know, you visit, you see the little cartoon sheeps, they're always like fluffy and clean, but reality, they're kind of dirty. And
I was thinking more like counting sheep.
Counting sheep, right? You count sheep when you go to bed. And, yeah. But the sheep you count, right? That they hop over your head when you're trying to fall asleep. They're nice and pretty and they're soft and fluffy. And, you know, they're, but the reality is sheep are stinky and dirty many times because they're outside. They get into things and they often, if you study them out, they're antagonized by insects and, you know, these little tiny flies make their way into sheep's brain. They can actually go into the fur, into the wool, right, and go into their brain and cause infections that lead to blindness and even death. So a good shepherd, right? How many know that God's our good shepherd? A good shepherd knows that the antidote to these tiny bugs that cause big problems is an ointment or an anointing that's when applied to their head helps protect them from the flies. This isn't something the sheep require one time. Right, this is a process that is repeated even daily. So when we're talking about anointing today, we're talking about an anointing that matches our assignment. So when God calls you to something, you know, a lot of times we feel overwhelmed, right, Diana? We feel like this is too big a task for me. You know, I'm in over my head, you know, or we have this the flies, the words, the voice of society, of culture, of the enemy, of failure, you know, screaming in our ear. And a lot of times, you know, if we're not careful, it plagues us all, right, as quote, sheep. And if we're not careful, it can penetrate and go into your mind and even cause you blindness. You know, it can cause you not to see the vision. It can cause you not to see the answer. It can cause you, you know, to be in such a fog that it takes away your sight. And we know how important sight is, right? Habakkuk says to write the vision down, make it plain. So sometimes we get these visions and we're on the journey. And then because of all the noise around us, with all the challenges, and because we're not walking possibly or recognizing the need for a daily anointing, we are affected by what we hear and what we see, and it can cause us to be blind and even cause the dream to die. And I think so. I want to talk about that, you know, as leaders, you know, that we need a continual anointing of God's Spirit, you know, not to counteract flies, but to counteract the lies. So if you take the F off of flies, right, you have the lies of the enemy, the one who tells us we can't do it, that tells us we're not enough, that tells us there's no answer. And so let's look at anointing in that context, right? Let's look at it and maybe break it down in a natural word. It's the presence of God. It's we need something from God daily that's going to help us walk out what He's called us to do. And what comes to your mind when we're talking about this?
In case anybody was wondering, I was counting sheep while David about all the notes and went through them. But I think the first thing the first thought that came to my mind was you said something about anointing for the assignment is mm-hmm. you have to know the assignment.
That's good.
And I kind of was thinking about reels that went around, you know, maybe a year ago or something, like she knew the assignment, he knew the assignment. I think you have to know the assignment, and the way you get that is you need to be listening and dialoguing and getting information from the teacher, the ultimate teacher. So I think you need to be tuned in to the Lord and know what the assignment, because I want to be anointed for what God's called me to. I don't want to create my own path. I want to walk in the path that God set before me. So I think you have to know your assignment. Mm-hmm. I've seen.
What causes us not to know it? You know, I mean, because I'm thinking that was good. When I'm thinking when you said that, I'm thinking like, you get the assignment, and maybe you did know it. Maybe you were clear in the beginning. Maybe you had some clarity when you first received it from the Lord. You know, but then stuff happened. You know, you go through your days, you go through your weeks, you go through your months, you go through years, you go through challenges, and you know, you become, you know, derailed, so to speak. So is it possible that you have to know your assignment, but is it possible that you could actually, your eye can get taken off the ball, and then maybe, you know, the enemy comes in and shows you a different assignment, or it becomes cloudy. Does that make sense?
I think life happens. Mm-hmm. You know, when I think of sheep, I think you said dirty poop happens, guys.
Sheep dung happens.
It happens. But I think you have to recognize that that doesn't always, I think sometimes that does change, you know, ultimately the path that we go. But mm-hmm. I think it's really about not being jaded or swayed by the things of this world, that we have to stay focused on, you know, the Lord, because I think there's a lot of stuff out there that will derail us from God's ultimate plan and purpose. But I do think that anointings change too. I feel like in seasons where, you know, my kids were younger, I know I was anointed to be a mother. I love being a mother. That's ultimately probably anything I do in life probably has a motherly lesson in it somewhere because it's ingrained. So I do believe for me personally, I was anointed to be a mother, and I'm always going to be a mother. However, I'm not actively a you know, my kids aren't at home anymore, but my anointing hasn't changed. I feel like, you know, I'm mothering you now as our
kids have left. I feel that way too.
But even I think people that serve with me at our business and stuff like that, I feel like probably most of the time they feel as if, you know, I always have a lesson attached to something a lot of times. So I think your anointing doesn't change, but maybe the avenue or the platform that you use it in, changes,
yeah.
And but the ultimate purpose, the mm-hmm. ultimate anointing, the ultimate assignment, still there,
right?
And then I think as you know, transition happens. You know, you go from being young and married to parenting to career to you know, grandparents, whatever those different levels. I think that changes too. But I think you just have to be. You know, I don't really know the answer to that. I just think there's a lot of things that look glittery and shiny, and we want to chase after them. But sometimes. The callings of God isn't always, they're not always shiny and glittery and flashy. Yeah. They're, you know, in the dirt and out there with the sheep. They're dirty. They're not always the glittery.
Shepherd, yeah. And being a shepherd necessarily is not a glamorous work. And being a sheep, you know, you're in the elements. And, you know, I'm thinking, I was thinking about that with where the flies attack the sheep's, you know, head. They go to the head. And there's something to that. You know, I know, several years ago, you know, you read this book, and I'm familiar with it, but the battle ground of the mind, you know, and that's, I think that's symbolic where the flies attack the brain and they go in and they bring blindness and could even cause death. But, you know, I'm caught up on this blindness for a minute because that's really the enemy's job. You know, we have a real enemy. You know, it's not a fake enemy. This isn't like a little devil, you know, on your shoulder, this red with a pitchfork, you know, like the Halloween, you know, costume devil. This is a real enemy who would love to derail our leadership and our life. And, you know, and just like the flies, the battle often wages in our mind. And that's really where it comes down to. You know, if you think about this too, you know, the if you're a believer, you know, God places a purpose on your life and a purpose in your heart. You know, he's the one that places that there, you know? And if it's, if you're a believer, it's usually significant to the lives of people that you serve, whether that's one or 1,000, it doesn't matter. You know, it's significant to the lives of the people that you serve or that you impact, because that's what God cares about. And so if you think about it, we take that on. That's given by God. And, you know, the Bible says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I'm thinking about that, you know, it's some, so you may be saying, well, it doesn't feel easy or light to me, you know, and what I was coming to my mind is how many times have I taken that yoke off of his shoulders? Cause he says, place that yoke on me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I can carry it, but I'll take it back and I'll put it on my shoulders. And, you know, the reality is we're not meant to carry that burden. We're meant to walk in the purpose that he's called us in. And so if he called us in that, he gives us an anointing to walk in that. There's a grace, so to speak. But the enemy comes in and begins to mess with your mind. He begins to show you the areas in the natural that things aren't lined up in, you know, but he doesn't ever tell you that, hey, God's working behind the scenes. He doesn't ever tell you that God's in control. He just shows you the things that aren't adding up and the things that trouble us, you know, the things that bother us. And that happens in our brain. And the enemy's attack, they may not leave us physically blind like the insects with the sheep, but they certainly leave us spiritually blind. And there's been times in my life, in my career, you know, even in recent seasons where I think the enemy's gotten through and there's been an element of blindness that's caused me to lose track of the plan and path of God. And I think that's every bit as real, you know, and, but we can't lose sight of the fact that God's placed an anointing and he hasn't changed his mind. You know, he hasn't changed his mind. And I think that's important. You know, I think that I think an anointing from the Lord is imperative to walk out the journey.
You know, when I think of anointing, I feel like that there's lots of people that, you know, God has anointed for a specific calling or a specific thing. And mm-hmm. calling doesn't always mean ministry. He's anointed you in a certain area of your life that you know that, but you're less qualified. There's no doubt in my mind that God has anointed me for certain things that I didn't have the qualifications for, but somehow
right.
he, you know, as I went on my path or my journey, like for instance, as far as discipline, I'm someone that is very like regimented. And so why was that important? Like I feel like that helped me my walk that I'm not someone that goes so close to, I walk black and white. And that's not for everybody, but I'm a black and white person. I don't right. stray into gray. I want to be as far away from it as possible and yet still stay regimented. But then, so that's something I know that God, and I think that's protected me in seasons where maybe I would have strayed, but because I'm so black and white, it was probably more fearful. Mm-hmm. So I think God used fears as a child, like being less than or not measuring up. I think that God allowed those fears because they're not of him, but he'll use those things, right? I think he used those to help me build discipline so it doesn't my walk with the Lord, that it was important that I, you know, was in the straight and narrow, that I didn't go so close that I stepped over. I found safety in that. So I think that, you know, God sometimes anoints us in life, but we're the less qualified. I don't know if that makes sense in my mind. I have so many like thoughts going by. Like I feel like the place I'm at in life, there would have been never in a million years, when I was younger, would I ever imagine that I would be where I am today. And when I look back, I can't help but be grateful mm-hmm. that God took someone again, not everyone knows our story, but we got married at 17. At that time, I didn't finish high school. I was expecting my first child, like every odd against us. And I believe it was the anointing of God that there was greater in me and that he could take my nothing, because it was nothing.
Yeah. Or you're less than.
My less than, my less qualified, and work through that and make something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. And I think if anything, over the course of time, I am able to say that I think what makes me relatable would be I've been there.
Yeah.
Whether people always know that or not, I've been there, and I can say, hey, there is hope, because statistically...
we shouldn't have made it.
We shouldn't have made it for a lot of different reasons, but I think the anointing of God was able to circumvent and break what would be statistics.
Yeah, and so something I'm picking up from some of the things you said is, you know, first of all, you have to know your purpose, and let's use another word here that we use in church, calling, you know... and again, there could be multiple things that you do through that calling, but God has called you, you know. You know, I would say this, that if you're listening to this, then you are called by God. You may not be called to, you know, fivefold, you know, pulpit, church, full-time vocational ministry. But, you know, here's the thing. Most people on this planet that are believers by far aren't called to do things that way, you know, but you're still called. And it took me also a long time to figure out and differentiate that, to separate that identity crisis that came with, you know, with the pull between what I thought, you know, I wanted to do and maybe what I gravitated towards. And then, you know, looking back and seeing what the Lord had in store. So, you know, I love that. And it's not always, you know, and if you don't listen to God, and if you don't really find that center first and find that calling and really, you know, seek God for the purpose on your life, I think that that's really the start of the fuzziness and the blurriness that can come, you know, because you're moving along and you're doing things, but you're not necessarily doing the things that God would have you do. And so, but I think it's okay to, once you do have some clarity on that, to ask God for his anointing, to ask God to anoint us. And when we do that, we're asking him, you know, I know the sheep don't ask the shepherd, hey, I got flies on me, can you anoint me? They can't talk, right? But, you know, the shepherd, the good shepherd, God, he gives us the ability to communicate with him, to talk to him. The Bible says to ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open, you know, and if we ask God, he'll do it. So I think that, you know, it's imperative that we ask the Lord even daily. Some of the things that I'm doing in my daily practices that I've implemented even recently are praying specific prayers, asking God things, not assuming, because he does know. The Bible says the Heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows you need these things. But that doesn't substitute the fact that we are to ask him. And so we need to ask him to anoint us. And when we do that, we're asking him, God, protect our minds so that we can pursue our callings with clarity. Because the enemy, all he has to do, the Bible says, what the enemy comes not, but to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, and maybe he can't destroy or kill you, but he can steal your joy or steal your peace or steal your clarity. And really, that's all he needs to do is take you off track and to try to slow you down, to try to derail you, as you said. And so we need to ask God for his anointing over our assignment so that he protects our minds, right? So that we can pursue our calling with clarity, so we can see where we're going. Right? Because if we can't see where we're going, then we can't get there, you know, and we can't do the things that God's called us to do. So if you just tuning in, we're talking about the anointing of God, and we're talking about the anointing for your assignment. And we're saying, ask God, right, to help us to counteract the temptations of this life, because it's not just the temptations that we think of, right? The temptations that, you know, of lust or temptations of, you know, sexual temptations, that sometimes we take that word and immediately put it into that box. It's the temptations to quit. It's the temptations to do it yourself. It's the temptations to take things in your own hands and to, you know, to make decisions that aren't going to have a good result, right? Those are the main temptations, I think, that the enemy uses when we're on our journey to pursue the calling that God's placed on our lives. So we got to ask him for his anointing to counteract temptations with truth, with the truth of his word. And that's really where, you know, I think the balance comes out there, right? You have the temptations of this world that say you can't, the temptation to say you can't do it, right? And it could even be coming from your own self, somebody close to you. And then we counteract that with the truth of God, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I guess the counteraction of the temptation would be the truth. What do you think?
I'm just taking it all in, to be honest with you, because, you know, I think anointing can go in a lot of different directions. But I know that, you know, I've been at the right place at the right time, and God has given me something to say, not even realizing it, maybe just a casual conversation and like something came, you know, words of knowledge or an encouragement that I wasn't even planning on. And like when it was done, I was like, wow, I don't know really that where that came from. It had to have been the anointing of God. So that's another thing with the anointing. I feel like it takes the less qualified or the less equipped, and it makes you in that role, whatever it is. You know, I've seen maybe not the most eloquent speaker,
right,
talking on a regular conversation that maybe would fumble, but yet be under the anointing of God and speak a powerful word.
Right.
But then also when they came out of that anointing, you know, be back to, hey, they're human and
right.
they stutter, right. right? He has the ability to do that. Or maybe, obviously there's some people that if you're a musician or a singer, yes, you can
sing,
but then there's some that you think, whoa, they can sing.
Right. Right.
But I've seen the Lord use someone, the subpar singer or the subpar, musician mightily simply because they were available and allowed the anointing to flow through them. So I think also knowing not only does God anoint you, but allowing the anointing to flow through you
right.
in those seasons, I think, you know, the anointing isn't about us. So I think we can get prideful and go, the anointing is about right. us. No, right. it's about God through us.
In the anointing, I think, you know, when it comes to like business or when it comes to, you know, if you're not a singer, if you're not a preacher, you know, if you're not a speaker, you know, the anointing to lead, the anointing to do your job, the anointing to... you know, to make decisions, the anointing to steward finances, the anointing, because we're not over spiritualizing it. It's the opposite. It's that God has gifted you and called you to do something very natural in a supernatural way with his anointing. Because, you know, if you're gifted with the area of stewardship or finances, for instance, with the anointing, you make ends meet and you don't really understand how. And it's where the natural and the supernatural meet. And I think that's the unfair advantage that we have as believers. You know, for instance, you know, when we ask them to protect us from the inside out, we produce things like peace, right? Contentment, joy, you know, in right in the middle of a world or a business or an economy or a struggle filled with stress, greed, and anger. So we produce peace instead of stress. We produce contentment instead of greed. And we produce joy instead of anger. You know, and it's in the natural, you couldn't do those things because you might be just as stressed out. You might be just as worried. You might be just as wondering. You might be tempted to think the same way as any other human would think, right? But because you have the anointing, you walk under the anointing, it's not a, you know, it's not a mystical thing. It's a tangible thing. It's a covering. It's like walking, as we talked about last week, with favor. You know, we talked the week before, you know, about wisdom. It's like walking in those things, walking in wisdom, walking in favor, and then now you're walking in an anointing.
I think that's where the assignment has to be known. Mm-hmm. You know, when our kids were little, a couple of times you said something about homeschooling. I knew that there was no way I was anointed to be
right.
A parent to homeschool. I knew I wouldn't. I'd be like, let's go on a field trip today, every yeah. day. So I knew that that wasn't my anointing, but I knew I was anointed to be a mother. And I came alongside of their education in school, and they went mm-hmm. to private school. The Lord really blessed us to be able to keep them through private school their whole school career. But
and by the way, I was wrong. Like, but that was just something in the natural. I don't remember what I was thinking then, but...
But it was with good intentions. So sometimes yeah. people try and put you in a box with good intentions. Your intentions were you wanted to...
I thought that was the answer.
Yes.
But I was wrong. I thought that was the, you know, that was a way to...
record that.
Well,
repeat.
I was wrong.
Say it.
Well,
say
I was
it.
Wrong.
Say it.
I was wrong. but I was wrong, and God had a better way, because my motive was, you know, trying to maybe protect or guard, you know, but God had other plans and a better way to protect and guard and equip. You know, and
but he did anoint me to come alongside of what their education was, and I was involved in their projects and things like that. I actually love that. I
involved will tell you,
or
you my
did second, my third, and my fourth time through school.
Were you involved in their projects?
I was amazing.
I was gonna say, were you involved in their projects?
I was amazing.
Did you actually do their projects?
I
for
love
them?
School projects. I love them, but I knew
that was definitely an anointing.
I'll
stop there. Seriously, we're joking about it, but that was definitely an anointing that I didn't have. You know, you had, I know I'm not, I mean, I know you're laughing, but I'm saying for real that that's, don't minimize it. You know, maybe that's you listening now and your kids are younger. Our kids are, you know, in their 20s and one's almost, you know, approaching 30 in a couple of years. And our son's going to be all our kids be married come this time next month. And so it's been a long time, but maybe you're watching and you have younger kids like that. So don't devalue that. Or underestimate that, because you were anointed to do that. That was an anointing.
I feel like right now, and that's funny you said that, because that was one of the things when I started to go that direction, I was thinking about, you may be anointed to be caring for your toddler right now in this season. And don't, that is molding the future generations.
Yep.
Train up the child in the way they should go so that they will not depart. Don't take that for granted. That if that's the assignment right now, mm-hmm. be full of the Holy Spirit and anointed to do it as unto the Lord. And I think that we don't always see that. I mean, I can remember being, I've always worked. I just changed the way I worked. Mm-hmm. When we first got married, I worked on the weekends for my husband's father's advertising agency. So I started out my career in that, and I traveled the state of Florida. And that's what I was doing, but I knew my anointing was my children, and that was a priority to me, but I had to also generate an income on mm-hmm. some level. So I sacrificed weekends to be able to do that. So, but I think ultimately being able to pour into my kids in that season as they grew and developed, it changed. I didn't need to be at home 8 hours a day because they were in school. So what was I going to do? I started, you know, asking the Lord and seeking the Lord, opened up parts of business. Honestly, there's parts of business that I would have never seen in myself when I was a stay-at-home mom. I can remember thinking sometimes like, what is there for me? And there was all those little things like with the kids at that point, I can look now and see they were building blocks for a greater purpose now here, even mm-hmm. in career and in business that I didn't see at that time. So I think you got to recognize where you're at, but then realize it's going to be a building block for what's to come.
I think there's an anointing to you know, this isn't in the notes, but, you know, there's an anointing for couples, you know, to work together and to complement one another. So, you know, you said that you stayed at home and that you, you know, then when that shift came, there was an anointing to do some things in business. Well, you were a huge and tremendous asset, you know, to the things and still are, obviously, to the business. And so there were things that you were anointed to do that brought about blessing and major growth. And so those anointings complement one another. But there were times in our life where we were on
oil and water.
Well, sometimes. There were times in our life when we were on different paths.
Yeah.
You know, I was on a wrong path and you were on a right path. You know, so at the same time, while you were seeking that out, God was, you know, getting my attention to some things where I thought, you know, I was doing something that was the right thing. But in the reality, I had my priorities, you know, mixed up. So I think when it comes down to it, you know, we have to ask God. And no matter what it is, your assignment could be the CEO of a company right now. Your assignment could be working for somebody running an important division, even if you're possibly, you know, feel underutilized, or, you know, your assignment can be a mother, a father. Your assignment could be, you know, a number of things. And so whatever that is in this season, maybe you're seeking out that purpose. Maybe you're in transition. And so I'm going to say, ask the Lord to give you an anointing every single day. So what would be wrong with asking God every day, today, this day, you know, praying for favor, praying for blessing, praying for expansion, praying for growth, praying for protection, but then praying for wisdom, praying for an anointing. God, today, give me an anointing. We wake up, we open our eyes, we think about it, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, today's another day, or oh man, I got these challenges. You immediately think of the challenges because the enemy is waiting for you. He just sometimes doesn't even wait for you. Sometimes he might put them in your dreams, but he's waiting for you to wake up so that he can infiltrate your mind immediately and begin that battle. So immediately you begin to think about the things from a human perspective. What's wrong with saying, God, I need your anointing today. Today I need the anointing that's going to match my assignment. I need you to anoint me for my conversations today. I need you to anoint me for my opportunities today. I need you to anoint me for my trials that I'm going to face, that I'm going to navigate through. I need you to help me today. I believe that's a tangible prayer that, be honest with you, I'm just speaking for myself. There have been more days in my life that I've not prayed that prayer by far than I have prayed it. Why? Such an easy prayer to just ask the Lord. It's like you get in your car. If I were going to get in my car and go somewhere that I don't know how to go, where to go and where to, how to get there, what do I do? Honey, put this in your phone, right? If we're together. Why? Because I don't know how to get there. So I asked a device for the directions, but I won't ask the master for his anointing.
Wow, that's good.
And I've done that. And it's so weird because I've done that so many thousands of days in my life where I've gone through a day and I didn't start it by, maybe you're even reading the word. Maybe you're even in the Bible. Maybe you even say some prayers and do some things in the morning. But are you asking specifically?
I immediately thought about sometimes you might know a path to get somewhere and you've done it over and over again. Mm-hmm. But when you put something in your navigation, it detours you because it has speed traps, it has accidents notated, and so it'll take you off route. So I think anointing, you know, when you mentioned it from that perspective about asking a device for direction, just because you've asked him for direction in the past doesn't mean you shouldn't daily do it, because he knows what's ahead in that day. Mm. And so the same path that, you know, maybe a breakthrough in a certain area, maybe the same path that led to breakthrough in the past may not be, there might be a little bit of a different route to get there this time.
Yeah.
And so I think doing that is important. I think we can get in the motions. I mean, we've talked about this before, of just getting in the motion or the routine of reading the Word of God, that you're not actually internalizing and allowing it to penetrate your heart.
Yeah.
And to guard your mind, you are just going through the motions of it, but you've not allowed it to pierce those areas of your life.
It's not impacting.
You know, and we've talked about this too, even sometimes in worship. If you know, you're listening to worship music, sometimes we get so caught up on singing about God that we don't speak personally, like, He is my God.
Yeah.
He answers my prayers.
Right.
He cares about what. It's easy to say, hey, he cares for you. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you, versus I'm going to cast my cares upon him because he cares for me, and making it personal. You know, sometimes I do that even when we're in church and we're singing a song. Sometimes at a point in the song when it's speaking of God, sometimes I will actually change the word because I want it personal. That's for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab a hold of that for me. Yeah. So I think right now the anointing is for you.
Yeah. Amen. So there's nothing magical, as we wrap it up here, about praying for wisdom, praying for favor, and praying for an anointing. There's nothing magical, but there is something special when you assume a posture of humility. And I think what I mean by that is, I can't do it without you. I can't do it without your wisdom. I can't do it without your favor. And I can't do it without your anointing. And there's something remarkable about being disciplined in your desires and faithful in the field that God's placed you in the calling and purpose that God's placed you in, whatever that is. It might not be somebody else's purpose. It's your purpose. And there's something remarkable about being disciplined in your desires, faithful in that field. So here's my thing. Don't be surprised if you ask for these things, if you ask for favor, if you ask for, you know, a blessing, if you ask for wisdom, if you ask for an anointing, if you ask for protection. Don't be surprised that you ask these things in the name of Jesus, right, in God's name, and then you won't find yourself in the middle of miracles. Amen? In the middle of miracles. And that's what we want. We want to walk a miraculous life that's full of fruit and led by the Holy Spirit, no matter what we do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, we want to thank you guys for tuning in today. We enjoyed being with you. Hopefully you enjoyed today's podcast. If you did, make sure you tell somebody about it and share it. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to our Apple and podcast channels as well. And if you want to catch us live, then download our Game Changer by IPD Agency app. You can find it on Android Store and Apple Stores. And that way you can hang out with us, the live recording of this podcast is only done on Tuesday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and it's only done on the app. Then every Wednesday, we drop the episode on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Make sure if you're on social media, you tag us. We want to see what you're doing. We love to see your testimonies. If something we said touched you, then make sure you let us know. We want to be a blessing to you. And we really appreciate you guys hanging out with us today. And we will see you next time on Game Changer Podcast.